Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi, everybody. It's Carl Walsh here at Saving Seniors, and I hope everybody had a good September, and now this is the October show, where today I'm really excited about a topic that really comes up a lot for seniors. It's really about downsizing. How can you downsize, and what are the various ways you can do it, and why do people downsize? So a lot of these questions I'm hoping we get answered. I have an expert in the subject in real estate, Ante Perkoff, and maybe I'm giving him short notice because he has other aspects of downsizing and related to seniors, trusts, and so forth. But Ante is a founder and broker of Really on Real Estate. He's been around for three decades, an expertise in Southern California real estate specifically. He's a native of the South Bay right here in South Bay, Los Angeles. He earned his BS in Pepperdine from Pepperdine University, and he has a master's degree, actually, in real estate development from USC. And I love when he explains how to pronounce his name. He said it's like Dante, but without the D. So Ante has been in business for a long time, as I mentioned, and his entrepreneurial journey began with CapWest Financial, and that was in 1995, and he followed that with CapWest Real Estate Brokers in 2005. He's certified specifically. Certifications, you know, as we go on, we don't stop our education. And certification, he's certified in probate real estate. He established Really on Real Estate as a national network of top agents specializing in estates, trusts, and probate sales. So that's a specific niche that really applies to us in the senior world. And throughout his career, he's been an investor and developer himself and with expertise in land use, and he knows about entitlements and value-added real estate investing. And he has some philanthropic endeavors, too. He's a respected lecturer in urban planning at Cal Poly, Pomona. And he's not just a teacher, but he mentors young people with his knowledge and experience with the next generation, specifically of industry professionals. So with that in mind, I'd like to welcome Ante Perkoff. Ante, are you here?
I am, Carl. That makes me sound like I know what I'm doing. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think you do. That's why I called you, because I know you know what you're doing.
And, I hope so.
And, you know, I was excited about your newsletter that I had seen. You know, and those of you out there will give how to do this, sign up for your email. But it was an exciting title. It says, The Next Chapter, A Guide to Downsizing. And
right.
you talk about, you know, understanding people's motivation and practical tips for success. Could you run through some of those with us?
Sure, absolutely. this is becoming a larger part of our business. I think the core of our business has been probate, trust work, you know, after somebody's gone and getting into a house, and that's kind of a different thing. But we're seeing more and more of this as people are staying healthier longer, and you know, they're in a big house. It gets expensive to maintain. It's difficult to maintain physically, and we're doing a lot of the downsizing work now, where we start talking to folks sometimes a year or two in advance. And that's probably the first tip, is to start early. That's what it says in the newsletter. Because these conversations take a long time. There's a lot of moving parts. Not only do you need to talk to me, you need to talk to your financial people, you need to talk to your mortgage people like Carl, you know, if that's in the mix, and you need to talk to your kids. So that's probably the key thing, is starting early if it's something, you know, that's on somebody's radar. To start looking.
That's huge. I saw some of the things. I've seen a list of that. You know, the early versions. There's the early version. Let's say you're going to sell your house. I can't even remember. It was a realtor newsletter. But they say, okay, if you have a lot of time, 5 years ahead, you do X, Y, and Z. And if you're 3 years ahead, you can do this. And if you're 2 years ahead, you do that. And if you're only 1 year ahead, you know, there's certain things you can, you should and should not do. Meaning,
that's funny. I just saw that piece somewhere out there in the universe. And you're right. Sometimes the earlier you start, the better, I think, because it depends where you're going to invest into the home. Right?
If you
know you're going to be gone in a two-year horizon, there's certain things that you just wouldn't do.
Like landscaping, necessarily. There's big things that take a while to mature. I don't know, landscaping 2 years is too early, but that's an example where you need some time for it to fill in and after you plant a bunch of stuff.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And I think the next big one is kind of getting the stuff,
Yeah.
We've all got stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge one. I mean, to us, because first of all, if you're downsizing, just physical reality being what it is, if you're going from 2,000 square feet to 1,000 square feet, or
mm-hmm.
5,000 square feet to 2,000 square feet, whatever the case may be, it's got to be planned for. There's
mm-hmm.
going to be some stuff that has to, you know, you got to decide what to do with it, and those things take time. I mean, we're attached to our stuff. That's why we've kept it so long.
That's right. You know, I have a policy of my own that I'm preparing for the future. I may only leave my house if I'm carried out on a stretcher or a gurney, but I don't buy an article of clothing without throwing some duplicate item out of my closet or giving it to Goodwill, of course, or Salvation Army. In other words, if I'm buying a new pair of pants, something needs to leave my closet. Just because I can see this happening, you know, like junk everywhere.
Right. Right. I wish I could say the same. Not so much with clothes, but I tend to buy cooking stuff that I don't need
mm-hmm.
because it's new, but I really like the older ones. So I'm accumulating, and I think that's kind of the lesson, is at some point, if this is something you're going to do, it's a lot easier, and I think it's a better feeling for the homeowner if you take your time. You know, you don't mm-hmm. feel rushed. If this is something you decide to do in a month or whatever, it's difficult, right? And you
mm-hmm.
get make tough choices, and you might have some regrets. Oh, I gave this up, and I should have. Or on the converse, you end up with a whole bunch of stuff and nowhere to put it. So,
I think we've heard that ourselves. Even though we're seniors in this audience of mine, we've had elderly parents, or I've seen it in the reverse mortgage space, where you can't get the senior to throw anything out. You're like, no, I need that shirt, but there's a hole in it, and you haven't worn it in 5 years. No, I like that. You know, so there's becomes an obsession where it's bordering on hoarding. But you know,
well, when you talk about seniors specifically, like your clients and some mm-hmm. of the people I'm working with as well, I think that's generational too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's that scarcity that
mm-hmm.
so many people grew up with that.
Right.
Some of us, you know, haven't been exposed to, and you know, my grandparents were that way, where nothing got thrown away, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes you find really great stuff, and sometimes you go, what the heck?
Right.
So, you know, it's interesting, but I think the more help you can get, you know, with making those decisions, and
yes.
whether it's family or you know, professionals, you know, sometimes I come in and talk to folks about it. Hey, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? But if it's a lot of stuff or it's big decisions,
mm-hmm.
You know, we've got a network of other people we bring in. So sometimes we use, you know, estate sale people.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got a lot of collectible things. Sometimes it's crystal, things like that. Sometimes it's antiques. Sometimes books or art. You know, we got people like that. I've got a gold guy that I use. So, you know, somebody says, well, you know, my so-and-so left this to me. I've never known what it is. And we've got people that we trust, and we'll refer them, and they can kind of value it for them. Sometimes there's a lot of money sitting
right.
in closets and garages, and it really helps, you know, people who are trying to kind of make some changes. There's also organizers and people who will actually pack, you know, for you.
Mm.
If depending on, you know, physically, not everybody can just do all this stuff. I've talked to people who want to move, but physically it's a daunting task, right? Hey, my, you know, they'll say my child, my adult child lives on the East Coast. I don't want to be a burden to her to come out here and help me. So we'll get someone, and it's money well spent. I mean, you know, everybody gets paid in this, in every business. But to me, it's money well spent. You know,
but they're emotionally detached. They're emotionally detached, these professionals. And if they really have in high integrity, you know, they're not going to, you know, they can be objective if you're looking for an objective view, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I think, I mean, it's the same thing. It's what you do. It's what I do. Having, you know, a person to help you, to consult with you, you need a little bit of that attachment. I mean, empathy is wonderful, but I think the compassion comes in when you talk about, hey, I feel the way you do. I'm attached to my stuff just like you are. But elevating it to the next step, to being compassionate, is saying, it's also holding you back. We need to, you know, this is what I recommend. And if somebody, I've had plenty of people tell me, hey, thank you, you're probably right. That's not what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no problem. You know, no problem. That's the nice thing about about, you know, what we do as professionals, right? You can just make those choices.
And there's emotional quotient to this too, because I noticed in your newsletter said navigating the emotional journey. Explain that to the group.
Yeah, I mean, I've realized since I've kind of been doing specifically this type of work how much our stuff says about who we are, right? It may look like it may have no monetary value or no significant value, but that speaks to somebody's child, to somebody's marriage, you know, as proof. The big one we get a lot is proof of service. You know, where we live, we've got so many people that have served in the armed forces, and, you know, there's stuff piled up in garages that, you know, they don't even look at it. And, you know, we did one recently in Palos Verdes, and somebody had a flight helmet in there, and it was just super cool.
Right.
I mean, nobody had looked at it. Everybody forgot it was there. And, you know, and here was, you know, Dad used to be a test pilot. And so we kind of dug that out, and probably no real value, but then you come to the question of, you know, who gets it? There's four kids, who gets it, right? So all of those conversations, you know, stuff means, you know, I've seen people, it goes the other way when there's no communication. People get a little bitter about, hey, you threw that stuff away, I wanted it, why didn't you talk to me? So that's why, you know, back to the original point of starting early, those conversations need to be had. And I've also had it the other way where, you know, if mom or dad are getting a little older, adult child comes in and says, I'm going to throw all this you-know-what away.
Right.
You know, that's not a great feeling for, you know, particularly if you're a senior or if you're alone. Sometimes that stuff, you know, is important. But what I've found is a lot of people, if they just get the chance to reconcile with it, either donating it, seeing someone else take it, selling it, all of those things kind of makes them feel better. And, you know, they'll have a professional, like you said, with that detachment come in and say, hey, I'd love to sell this for you, but it really has no value. What do you want to do? And ultimately, they, you know, once they see stuff getting cleaned up, they go, oh, okay, let's get rid of it. You know what I mean? So
you
we
know
try
what
to do that.
Yeah, because I don't know if I was going to circumvent what you were going to mention this, but when I read the article, which, by the way, I'll emphasize that people get this at the end of our chat. That you can give them a way to get this letter. It's fantastic, by the way. You know, a lot of the stuff we get in email in these newsletters, you know, like, no offense, you know, recipes to cookies or something. That's fine. They're all, you know, you could tell they just plugged and chugged. Anyway, you said creating a memory box for small, meaningful items and taking photos of the home before the move can help preserve cherished moments. I think a memory box is really a cool idea.
Yeah, and you know, we've worked with some people who are, you know, still healthy, but they're moving into assisted living where space is limited. And, you know, the area where you and I live has a lot of really nice assisted living.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a new era in assisted living, but they are limited on space. And that memory box idea kind of comes from that work where you know, it's kind of a place, but it also puts boundaries. You know, I'm not going to save 50 photo albums. You know, you might give the bulk of those albums to your children or your grandchildren or whoever, but that memory box is for you. but it puts a parameter. You know, this is what you can. You know, and it depends. It's all space. How big it is up to you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was at the other end of that when my mother went to a nursing home. My brother had claimed certain furniture. He had the availability to do it. I was a young man and didn't have much space. And so later, my brother was moving, and he was going to sell the desk, my dad's desk. Like, what are you doing? Like, I was out of my mind. I got in my car the next day and drove to Northern California to make sure I saved that firsthand, put it in the back of my car. So it's funny, these things, and I talked to my sister the other day about that very incident, and she's like, yeah, you're just sentimental. Nobody cares. So there's, you can have a spectrum of people of the kids. Some really care, some don't care. So, you know, so, yeah.
I've had it with multiple siblings where I've literally had, you know, one brother. Mm-hmm. I'm the oldest brother in my family, and we haven't mm-hmm. gotten there yet. But, you know, I had a family where one brother rolled up a dumpster on the wow. a little too soon. But what I think is important to recognize is that's part of that person's process. The person who gets rid of those things
yeah.
Doesn't want to grieve those things.
Right.
And that's, you know, it may come off as callous, you know.
And I called it a spectrum. I want to be very careful. My explanation was a spectrum of emotions, not to degree.
Sure.
I think I'm a little, because, you know, what am I doing? It was my dad's desk. It's not my dad. He's deceased. You know, so what does the desk have to do with anything? But I hold meaning to it, personally.
Yeah. But our relationship to those things is strange. So even if we're throwing those things away, we're that person,
mm-hmm.
we're still saying something about, you know, what it is. We want to kind of, some people don't want to see those things
because right.
they want to move on. So, and I think the same goes, you know, back to the kind of the downsizing part of this conversation. Sometimes, I think really the big one is it can feel like when we go from, you know, a certain size of things, certain, mm-hmm. Price of something, and we go to something smaller, something even less expensive, it can feel like, you know, lack, like diminishment. And I think that's kind of why we hang on to stuff sometimes, you know, because obviously we all get a certain period of time where we're very busy,
mm-hmm.
and the house is very busy, and that changes. And when it does, I think that stuff kind of takes that place. So I do really believe in kind of reconciling how you feel about that stuff. But like I said, some people, I've had, you know, seniors tell me, I don't care what you do with it.
Yeah.
my jewelry's in a safe. The rest of this crap, I don't care. Excuse my language, Carl. I'm
yeah, yeah, no. And it also depends on, you know, that how that person accumulated the stuff. My
right.
mother was sort of an antique collector, and, you know,
sure.
so I wonder if it's related. You know, there's a lot of psychology here that is just hard to explain, and there's no point in explaining it. And I think you made it, you a salient point there, where we're all so busy, I don't have time to think about this stuff. But as
right.
I've become a senior myself, I have more free time, and so these memories start to come up. Like, yeah, I'd like to have my dad's desk. Where before
yeah.
I didn't put a sticker on it to say I'd like it because I don't have room for it, and you know my brother took it. So anyway, yeah. And you're big on planning, I can tell, because one of your things said create a floor plan for those moving to smaller homes. So you basically at the new place you're going to be at, you got to figure out what can go with you and what you cannot bring. So
yeah, and looking at the site, you know, the internet is such a great tool for this because you can look if you pop in, I've got a 10x12 bedroom. If you put that on a simple Google search, right?
Yeah,
which, you know, my mom's on Google every day, right? So most of us can access those things. And it'll tell you, this is the ideal amount of, you know, you should have a queen-size bed, you should have this. And because it's hard, it's really difficult to visualize, you know, what you do. And some of the tools we use on the other side are actually useful for this, too. Sometimes when we list a home for sale, we'll do 3D,
mm-hmm.
we'll do floor plans. And you know, they can do, I haven't done this, but I know the technology exists. They can actually put your furniture in a new place,
mm-hmm.
right? There's companies that'll do that for you. So some of that stuff just kind of makes you figure out what you can and can't do and what to get rid of.
You know what? I've had a guest here who's in the company. They're the company. They don't list houses, but they're the ones that provide services when you find your new place.
Oh, sure.
And so you downsize, and they have those CAD CAM, you know, those CAD things that you can say, okay, you have this desk that's, or this bedside table that's 1 foot by 1 foot, and you put that there, and they plug and chug all this stuff, and then lo and behold, you find out, oh, I've basically run out of room. And so, yeah, back to finding help that you said when you're navigating this, you know, journey, that you actually enlist help, which is number two. So there's professionals for every step along the way, isn't there?
Every step. I mean, it's almost crazy how, you know, what we can find and what we have found to help people out, particularly just not just the stuff, but on the move, on the packing, you know, on the labor front, and on, you know, when people are looking for a new place, you know, what do you do about that? And what are the resources? I mean, if somebody's moving, you know, far, you know, they're migrating to another part of the country or even in just another part of California, finding medical care in that, you know, in that area becomes kind of a bigger deal. That's kind of one of the reasons where I'm working with other agents who are like-minded. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not so much that, you know, you can find a real estate agent every 10 feet, right? Mm-hmm. Especially in California. But finding somebody who does the same type of work that you and I do, where primarily, you know, I either work with seniors or I work with families, right? That's just kind of what I do now at this stage of my career, and I really enjoy it. Super gratifying. But, you know, I've got some people here who retired to the desert. And you got to be able to, there's tons of real estate agents out there, some every personality. But finding the one that says, oh, yeah, you know, there's a lot of senior real estate agents out there who go, oh, this is the doctor you want to go to if this is what you need. You need a cardiologist, you want to go here. And you want to be close by, by the way.
Yes.
So that narrows your home search. So
right. That's so, there's so much involved with this. That's why I really think, and, you know, there's an old expression we used in mortgages when I was more broad-based, you know, shorten your list of expertise and you're going to grow your list of agents or customers, meaning don't try to be all things to all people. So, you know, as I told you, I'm strictly a reverse mortgage guy, and that just works better for me. But, you know, that's why I'm running this program, and we're going to stop for a break here. Do you have time to stay with us? We have
absolutely, Carl, no problem.
A couple more 8-minute segments. This is our 20-minute, and I really want to. There's so much to go through here.
No problem.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. So hold on tight. This is Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors, and we're here with Ante Perkoff, an expert in guiding you to a downsize. Hold tight.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,001. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET.
They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. Carl Walsh here, Saving Seniors. I'm here with Ante Perkoff. Again, we're talking about downsizing. And we left off talking about family dynamics and creating a floor plan for the physical space you're going to and seeing if we can keep not too much stuff for the new space, but just enough. Right, Ante?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other thing I wanted to touch on that same topic was on the, you know, a lot of times the reason for the downsizing is accessibility. We really didn't talk about that that much in the piece today that I wrote. But it's important. Sometimes it's easier, you know, if you get a little smaller place to make it work for, you know, various physical needs, or even I've got some clients, you know, future physical needs. They're perfectly healthy, but they worry about, you know, I'm upstairs. What happens if I can't, you know, if I can't get there? What do I need to do? So sometimes that has been a big motivation too. If somebody wants to get a smaller home, they can redo it and kind of retrofit it for accessibility. So I just wanted to mention that.
Right. No, that's, you know, that's sort of, we hit that with reverse mortgages too. In other words, somebody who doesn't, you know, they're upstairs, but they need to retrofit the whole downstairs. They want to stay in their home. I'm not moving. I'm going to die here. Okay, how do we do that? I don't have enough money to do this. So they get a reverse, as an example. This isn't here to pitch reverses, but it's sort of the, this is why it's, with our aging population, topics like this are so important, because there's a multiple choice, you know, a multiple choice answers
for
everything. Right, and then there's professionals for. I mean, everybody's gone into the space, so you can find the right person.
And you're not here to pitch reverses. I don't do that.
No.
But I will say they are such a wonderful tool. You know, if somebody really wants to be in their home, or the other choices aren't great, or they've got multi-generational living because you've got a family that's a caretaker, it's an amazing, amazing tool. And what you guys do, I have just a ton of respect for. I'm on the other end of it, obviously, but I think it's great.
No, we want the right solution.
Have options.
Yeah, we want the right solution. This isn't about nothing. Nobody gets sold here. You either want to stay in your home or you don't, you know, and you either can or you can't. You know, I have 100, and you know what happens when it's not as if it's less expensive to stay in your home. I've had multiple clients who were financially devastated by 24-hour nursing care.
Sure.
And it's very expensive to stay in your home, too. It's not the cheap way out, necessarily, although nursing homes are very expensive, too. You know, they're super expensive. So I have a 100-year-old woman right now I'm doing a loan for in Redondo Beach, and she has 24-hour nursing care. And she's doing great, by the way, but she needs help around the house. She can't be left unattended to. She had broken her hip, and so she's in a wheelchair. But mentally, she's okay. And so yeah. I've just seen whole fortunes being – that's another topic.
It's kind of the same thing, because I'm a huge advocate for that. If somebody wants to be in their home, they should have that right. And everything we can do, whether it's a reverse or even back to this initial conversation of downsizing, I think that's the difference. You're not waiting on your health to dictate where you live. You're making a conscious choice. You're taking control over your own life and saying, hey, I can't take care of half an acre with two stories, but I can go to a condo. Or I can go to, I've had people just want a one-story house. That's probably, every time I get a one-story house listed, I can tell you that's always the profile. People coming in that are just starting the aging process, you know, early in it and going, I am just a little harder to get up the stairs. So,
what are your thoughts about, you know, because I have a, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you bring up such great points. I have a sister and brother-in-law who live in Virginia. When they downsized from their single family to a townhome, the townhome wasn't any less expensive because there was such a
right.
demand to move into, to downsize because
sure.
of the aging population that strangely the demand for condos or townhomes was higher than the single family market.
100%.
What are your thoughts locally here?
Yeah, yeah, and builders are actually, new home builders are mm-hmm. picking up on that, and probably the most popular product with builders are the smaller footprint homes.
Mm.
And interestingly enough, it's not only our clients who are doing that, it's also the new kids, the
mm-hmm.
You know, the first-time home buyers. They're both kind of competing a little bit for the same home because for different reasons, right? But it's almost that same idea. You know, so you get into that, you get into maintenance. But I've got a guy locally here that we use for maintenance, and I referred to some seniors who want to stay in the home, and I go, just, you know, here, work it out with him. He'll go buy your house, you know, once a month or whatever you need, once a quarter, and kind of do some of that stuff. So, you know, keeping people in their home is important.
And what, explain that to me, what this fellow does.
that just got me thinking with part of our network. I've got,
yeah.
He was just a handyman, but he'll go. We've referred him.
He'll retrofit it so they can. Is that what you're saying?
He'll do the retrofit, but he'll show. We refer him to do like a quarterly maintenance call where he'll show us anything they need done. They'll do it. So whether it's a smoke detector battery or whatever,
yeah.
And there's just so much time and more. Checking on the house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, you didn't notice there's a leak. But he's part of, you know, the trusted network of people that we use. So that's kind of something else we're excited about.
Oh, that's huge. That you supply these other services so people can, you know, keep you in their sight.
Yeah, we just try to be a resource.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we figure the numbers as far as, you know, actually doing work where we, you know, sell a house and get a commission, that kind of takes care of itself. If,
mm-hmm.
if my phone rings and somebody says, "Hey, Auntie, you have a painter? Here's a painter." You know, I'm not in the business of going, "That'll be $10, right?" but I'll refer anybody that I've worked with or that's worked with my clients and that we can trust, and we've vetted them, and that's kind of part of marketing, right? We do that. And, you know, and if somebody has a bad experience, we delete the number. So,
right. No. Right. Perfect. No, that's so
yeah.
great. So, you know what I'd like to do? We're going to, now these are the mini segments we're having here. We're going to take a commercial break and then come back. But I'd like you to maybe give me some examples of clients that you've helped out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, give actual situations, what went on from start to finish, you know, when they had to navigate their emotional journey, and they had to deal with, you know, all sorts of things that, you know, planning for their future needs and figuring out what the new floor plan is, et cetera. So can you hang on
let's try it.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. So hold on tight. This is Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors, with Ante Perkoff, and we'll be right back. Downsizing.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET.
They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, everybody. Carl Walsh. Back to you, Saving Seniors. And we're talking with Ante Perkoff. And we're talking about downsizing. He has a great newsletter, which we want to make sure that you find out how to get, called The Next Chapter, A Guide to Downsizing. Welcome back, Ante.
Hey, Carl.
So I asked you to come up with some past situations, real-life scenarios. Can you run through some that you clients you've helped and so forth?
I've got, two kind of come to mind. One of them in particular, I had a client who lost her husband and just couldn't handle the house. And we looked at other options as far as staying in the house. She kind of didn't want to be there, was what it boiled down to, not to laugh at it, but too much. And her husband, up until the point where he got sick, was vibrant and took care of everything. Handled all the maintenance. This wasn't her end of it, and just wanted to get at it. And the biggest challenge we had on that was what to do with the stuff. So that was a big state sale deal for us. We had to bring in state people, and we interviewed a couple different companies, finally settled on one, and they had a hugely successful estate sale. Generated quite a bit of money. They had, I guess, some really nice furniture and stuff, collectibles, crystals, stuff I was talking about earlier. And that went really well. It actually kind of cushioned moving expenses quite a bit. And in that scenario, that person actually went to a 55-plus community and is super happy, right? There's activity scheduled. It's not assisted living. Just 55 and up. They've got a little golf course, all of that. So she's doing extremely well with that move.
Where is that? Was that locally here or out in the desert?
That's locally. That's actually the place she moved to. I did not represent her on that. That end of it. That's actually the South Shores Mobile Home Park.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah, which is a phenomenal place. It's probably one of the nicest mobile home parks you're gonna find.
Where's it located? Where is that?
That's in San Pedro. That's just kind of right before you get to, where the Trump National Golf Course is.
Yep.
The property's adjacent to it. It's on the cliffs, on the water.
Wow.
And for less than the price of a single family home, you're living above the Pacific Ocean, with a very, it's like a pitch and putt 9-hole golf course. They've got a full kind of cadre of activities for, like I said, it starts at 55 plus. So, I mean, I'm almost there too.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think there was some magazine journalist, and he wanted to write an article about a 55 and plus place, and this is in Florida, so he went down and he was 38 years old or 40 or something, and he moved in. He was just doing it for journalistic reasons, and he was like, holy cow, I love it here. I don't want to move. This is like the greatest.
I think that was in the Villages in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, and which is like the largest kind of senior living in the world, I think. It's huge. It's a huge, huge development. And I do recall seeing that. And I want to say they made a movie about that guy.
Did they? Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, because he thought this was the greatest thing. And, I think we need socializing. That's the problem with staying home, by the way, if you get too isolated. Right. The neighborhood you're in gentrifies. There's younger people there, and you don't have the social life you did before. That's, you know, there's this equation I always call it. Tell my kids you're going to use algebra later on, and that is weighted importance. So there's, you know, money, physical comfort, eating right, exercising. There's also socializing. A social human beings need to be with each other.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of work. I mean, governments are starting to get into this end of it. Japan has a huge problem with isolating. The UK has done some work on it. Canada, I don't know how much, you know, we're a little different animal in terms of what we do in the U.S., but at least nationally. But that it's a big deal. I mean, the quality of life in terms of interacting with people, and that's kind of the other impetus sometimes. When you're ready, you ask me for a couple of these, we'll call them case studies, mm-hmm. examples. That is kind of one of the motivations of a current client right now. They're at a large home and in Palos Verdes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit, you know, their friends are getting older. It's a little bit isolated. Mm-hmm. So they bought a new home in a that's being built for them in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
They got some other personal reasons for being on that coast versus this coast now. But part of that was the proximity to activities and to other people. They're going to have neighbors again.
Yeah.
As you pointed out, a lot of times if you live in, particularly if you live in a larger home, your neighbors change, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get families moving next year, which is great, but you don't have a lot of common.
No.
With somebody that's busy running the Little League and all that, you've done your time. So that's a current client right now that we're working with that's moving out of the area. Sorry, mm-hmm. my phone just rang as I was talking to you, Carl.
No problem.
Okay. And what we're doing for them, which is different than the first example I gave you, they don't want to take anything. They've packed away photos,
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff, and they've said, whatever you think, tell us how to get rid of this stuff.
Oh, that is so, by the way, it's probably, you're happy about that, because it's the indecision that can be maddening, you know, so this way
right.
you can say, well, perfect, I know a container
yeah.
company, I know a estate planning company, I know X, Y, and Z.
100%, and that's kind of what they're doing. They don't want to pay to ship it out there. They're moving so far, and they said, you know, this is going to be our next last home. We want new stuff. We want to enjoy ourselves, and we want it all to be fit with the, you know, they're getting a brand new home, so they want the new stuff, and they can afford it, so it's awesome.
That's very dramatic, though. You
yeah.
know, I just I looked at personally, you know, well, maybe I should move, and I went with somebody, looked up in Ojai. I'm like, just the thought of moving, it felt like, I can't do this. I can't move. I can't do this. I can't move. I can't. You know, emotionally, it was so strange. The idea seemed okay until I actually thought about it seriously. Like, I can't do
this. Yeah. I mean, physically, just the physical thought of it. My dad, who lost my dad like a couple of years ago,
mm.
but we used to talk about, because he had, you know, he had some medical stuff happening. So
mm-hmm.
I sat down with my mom and dad, and my mom was adamant, we're staying in the house. This is what we're doing.
Yep.
And my dad would have been, you know, my dad said he would have been fine. I don't know if it was true, but he looked around and he goes, I can't move all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He used to tell my mom, the house, this didn't happen, so I can say it now that he's gone, and because it was a joke, but he used to tell her, why don't we just have a fire?
Yeah, right, exactly. That'll make decision-making a lot easier.
Right, just have a fire, then we can just move, you know, because I used to say, hey, you know, if you move, this is what it looks like. And they chose to stay, and, you know, my mom's still there, and she's happy, and she's not going anywhere. I just asked her again. It's important to kind of update those conversations
yes.
with the people close to us. So.
And that's, you gave a great example about your Florida client. They're going to list their property. They're okay with cutting and running. You know, they've collected what they're going to need to collect, and they go, tell us who to call
right.
to get rid of the rest of the junk. I mean, those are fairly well-adjusted people, I would say.
Well, these people are amazing. I don't want to share their personal information,
no.
but they are like, they are just some of my favorite clients I've ever had. They're amazing. I told, you know, I went through before we took the photos, and I said, hey, you know, it's always a delicate conversation because you have stuff that's important to you, but I may not want to see them in the photos.
Right.
And She goes, I understand. Just tell me what to get rid of, Auntie. It's
yeah,
okay.
Gotta love
you know,
that.
I mean, just a trooper.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So we're about to go into our last segment. We're going to take a commercial break here. What I'd like to do when we come back, if you want to touch on that other client, you hit the two clients, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, I want to talk more about you and your background and then how people can get in touch with you and get your newsletter. I'm curious about your Cal Poly Pomona lecture series you have. That's pretty cool.
I've got class tomorrow night. We'll talk about it when you come back.
Fantastic. Thank you. So Carl Walsh taking a break here on Saving Seniors. And I'm with Ante Perkoff, and we're going to be right back.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,001. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, everybody. Carl Walsh back with you. I'm with Saving Seniors, of course, your favorite program, and I'm with Ante Perkoff, and the topic was downsizing. We're leaving this last segment to discuss Ante's rich resume. I'd like to know a little more, you know, give the folks out there understanding, because these are some things I didn't even know you did. Now, firstly, really on real estate, you refer to as a national network of top agents. Is this your firm?
This is my firm, and it grew out of kind of two things in my career. Mm-hmm. The first is, you know, I'm just, you know, just a realtor for the last several years. And I started doing a lot of support for financial planners, estate planners, some of the state attorneys, people like that. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of just referral business for a trust. Somebody mm-hmm. would pass away, and the family wanted to sell the house, and I'm in an area where there's a lot of that work. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I mean, it's kind of strange to say. I liked it. I liked mm-hmm. being more than just, you know, some realtor on a billboard type of guy. that never suited me, but actually doing the sort of thing that you and I are talking about, where we're counseling people, we're talking about, hey, maybe you want to keep the home, maybe you want to do this, what are the other options, and kind of a longer lead time, it just suits my temperament, you know, to have these conversations. Yeah. I like working with the planners. They're having these kind of frank discussions that need to be had. So when those clients come to you, a lot of times, it's not so messy. Not always. Sometimes the estate attorneys, you get some stuff that's a little bit messy. But in general, that whole industry, I think, is needed, useful. And it brings people a lot of grace. I think there's a lot of comfort in kind of having your stuff locked down, whether it's your estate plan, your house, whatever it is. I just think it kind of helps when you're going through stuff. So that's the Reliant Real Estate kind of grew out of that business. And you kind of succinctly pointed out earlier, you know, focusing on one thing is a good thing for our business. And growing that national network, we're doing it like one agent at a time. You know, there's obviously, I think the only alternative is you call Remax and they throw you some agent wherever. What we're doing is kind of working with independent agents, and we've got probably close to 24 now all over, that we can refer. So if you call us and you're, you know, you've inherited a property or you need to deal with a property in Oklahoma, I've got a great guy in Tulsa. I've got somebody I just referred to in San Diego. We've got people in the Bay Area all the way up to Washington. So that's kind of the idea of that network. And then having people in that network that do what I do, which is helping people, like I said, with it. We call it as a catch-all, kind of legacy real estate. So you may still be in the home, but you've changed, your needs, you know, aren't at home anymore, or you've just inherited stuff. That's also legacy real estate. One of the common ones for us is mom and dad had an investment property. One of them was, you know, a landlord. The kids inherit that property, and, or, you know, somebody's aging, they can't take care of it, and all of a sudden you're a landlord overnight, and you don't know what to do. So I actually happen to be a landlord, and so we kind of step in. We don't do, like, long-term property management for clients, but we'll do interim management where we can step in, we can collect rents, we can get the maintenance people out there, and then turn around and sell that. So all of this kind of new endeavor for me grew out of that work, you know, from the planning community, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, that's so interesting. You mentioned, it's funny, I don't think you know this. I'm on the board of directors of FPALA, Financial Planners Association of Los Angeles.
I didn't know that until I spoke with you to set up this interview, and I looked it up. I'm going to be talking to you because I'm going to probably want to join.
Yeah. So it's funny, and although I'm not a financial planner, we go shoulder to shoulder, you know, with debt management and so forth with, you know, reverse mortgages come into play there. So,
100%.
Now, how did you get into teaching at Cal Poly? Explain that part to me.
Carl, you and I met when I was still doing continuing ed.
Yes.
Isn't that how you and I met?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, quick story, financial crash, which was, 2008, whatever, I was a real estate developer and owned a mortgage company. So it was like the two worst things you could have been invested in, the worst financial crisis, probably in the century, but certainly in my lifetime. I got a little scared. So what I did was I went back to school because I said, oh, my God, I might have to get a real job. You know, I don't consider, you know, what I do is fun. You know, I work for myself. We take care of people, and mostly we're having conversations. I'm like, I might have to have a job. So I may want to go back to school. So I went back to USC. I got a degree in real estate development because that's kind of what I was heavily doing at the time. Thankfully, I didn't have to go get a real office job, but out of that master's and through people I met there, I started teaching and found that I really enjoyed it. And one of my USC classmates was teaching a class at Cal Poly Pomona. He called me and he said, hey, it's kind of far, but I know you've got kind of this teaching bug. Do you want to haul out there and try it? And that was 8 years ago. So I teach two classes a semester for the last 8 years, and I love it.
And how did you set up a curriculum? In other words, well, you don't just go because there's probably a larger demand. You know, but there's a professor under every rock around.
It's true.
So
it's two ways. I have some basic classes I teach. One of the classes I teach is like an intro to real estate, which is basically real estate principles, the class you took to get your real estate license. So I teach that class, and that stuff's, you know, I try to make it interesting, but it's literally textbook.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave me a class called urban development,
mm-hmm.
which is just basically how are you putting density into areas where it might not exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the stuff you see going on all over. And I said, okay. They said, well, you're a developer. You have a master's in development. You could figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what do I tell them? So I kind of made it up. And I worked with the Urban Land Institute. I got trained on some of the programs that they teach. They're a wonderful organization. And every spring I teach that class. And my kids, they're my students. I call
mm-hmm.
them my kids.
Mm-hmm.
My kids go through and they basically plan in teams a redevelopment for a downtown. So it's a lot of fun, and they get to be imaginative, and we talk about, you know, and as I tell them, hey, if you're not going to work in real estate, it doesn't matter, because you're going to live in real estate somewhere, you know, I just think it makes you conscious of where you want to live, you
mm.
know what I mean?
Like, yes.
Do you want to live in a high-density environment? Do you want to live in the suburbs? If you do, what does that look like? What does the money look like? What does the commute look like? So those are the things we talk about.
Oh, that's so interesting. I mean, for you to, I've seen it go the other way around, you know, where people start off in academia and then go more practical. But actually,
right.
I've seen it both ways. I can't say there's a pattern. Because I remember when I got an MBA in finance and economics, and a couple of professors were retired, you know, top executives, you know, in industry, and they just wanted to, you know, teach a class or two a week, and that's a good retirement gig. So
I think it's really good for the kids. The balance between I don't think everything should be taught by somebody like me,
yeah.
an adjunct professor, a lecturer.
Yeah.
But having the balance, they seem to respond to it, because while they're taking my class, they're taking a rigorous course in, you know, statistics,
right, exactly,
analysis, and they need, first of all, they need a little relief. Those classes are hard.
Well, you know,
I'm the easy grader.
I don't mean to interrupt you, because I've been given the high sign that we're going to have to wrap it up in like 30 seconds or 45
okay.
seconds. So how do we get in touch with you? How do we get this? You
can get my name on any of the socials, will come up with all of this good stuff. And if you spell out Ante Perkov, ANTEERKOV.com, you can get my newsletter. Everything's on there.
Oh, fantastic.
And, I really enjoyed this, Carl.
Yeah. No, this is fantastic. Because you were, we'll call it this adjunct professor. We have to take this miserable licensing thing once a year. And lucky for me, I ran into you, and you can make it interesting. So you have a natural gift for it. And your heart's in this, which is why I'm doing what I'm doing, because it's a lot more fun to go to work when you really believe in it. And I become friends with my clients in the end, because, you know, there's tears and hugs and everybody's happy. And I imagine it's the same thing for you. They've gone to a new chapter of their life called
100%.
Downsizing. So
that's right.
It's fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Ante. And I hope to be in touch further. So great for you to take the time out and come on the program. Really appreciate
it. Anytime, Carl. I appreciate all the work you're doing.
Great. Thanks so much. And you
take
too.
Care.
So remember, okay. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
So everybody, Saving Seniors, Carl Walsh. We'll see you next month. And same time, same channel.